Anybody ready to speak?
Hey, y'all. How you doing? How you doing?
Hey,
how you doing?
I've been waiting for you. Let's get started with the news headline. There really isn't too many things interesting in the news right now because of the whole award. Okay, well, do tell.
Gotta ask. If we drive it, you'll say we told you.
First of all, I would just like to know if these ISIS beheading videos are real or if they're fake.
They are real.
The Egyptian ones also?
A little bit staged, but yes.
How were they staged?
They Photoshop it, so the extra graphic stuff.
Oh, so embellished.
Enhanced, as it were.
To make it look more gory?
More Nightmare on Elm Street-ish.
Are they a fan of that type of thing?
No, but you are.
Oh, to appeal to the American audience, right?
Do.
Because Americans were primarily their primary audience, not necessarily other countries.
Well, you'll just have to check with Mr. Cheney on that.
Dick Cheney.
When you say that there are interesting news titles in the headlines now, are you talking about financial markets?
Or lack of them, yes.
Well, can you give me a hint?
One bad, dirty scope brings a new super bug that they're afraid is going to wipe out all of the West Coast.
A bug, a virus.
Sandra, that was endoscopy done in a hospital in Southern California that caused a superbug infection on over 100 people. So now everybody thinks they're doomed if they have any tubes inserted in them. And it wasn't even a colonoscope. It was an endoscope because they don't know how to sterilize the equipment perfectly, or they just don't bother doing all the details. So that's that story.
It's just another reason to stay the fuck away from the doctor. Which I do regularly. I'm really seeing some different headlines lately about the Philadelphia experiment. I'm wondering if we can touch on that just a bit to get the truth of what was really going on and what happened. The date that I have is October 28th, 1943. To the USS Eldridge. The reports are that the ship had disappeared for 4 hours and then it returned to its original place, that there was a greenish haze on the deck. Some of the sailors were on fire. Some of them were insane. All of them were sick. Some had heart attacks. Some were dead. Some were part of the superstructure of the ship buried in the deck or the walls of the ship. And some reports said the men just seemed to disappear and were never seen again. I wanted to ask Ion if these reports that I've just rattled off were true.
Oh, sure.
And the goal of the experiment was they were manipulating electromagnetic energy to try to slip under the radar so that they wouldn't be detected.
No, particle separator.
What was the actual intention of the experiment? What were they trying to get at there?
Particle accelerator, and it works.
What did they do with the technology from that point? Did they sell it to someone, or do they still experiment with it? What happened?
Bob, are you going to tell them that you finally got it, or should I lead them astray and say it went to Russia?
Your choice.
But,
oh, Lord,
but
don't ask us.
Let me just ask, a particle accelerator, do you mean for time shifting or space shifting or world shifting?
They didn't know. They wanted all shifting.
And what did they get?
A holy grail.
So So they went back in time to go get that.
This is where Bob should cue up Good Golly, Miss Molly. Then we move all the way up to Project Paperclip. Now, go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves.
What's Project Paperclip?
That's the Nazis. I was part of that. We brought the Nazis over in 45. You know,
oh,
Reinhard
oh,
Galen's
okay.
gang.
Huntsville, Alabama.
That's where they went. Oak Ridge. Then that goes to Oak Ridge. Then now they're stranded in North Korea. They're kind of marginalized by Bob's lockdown. But
lockdown,
they, you know,
Bob, Yin, Kerry, world.
Don't be thrown by this, Sandra.
Oh, no, I'm not. So
thrown. Hell, Angela Merkel is trying to get rid of the euro. She was trying to save it. Now she's trying to get rid of it. If I owned any bonds, I'd make sure they went away.
I thought they were doing away with the euro. I didn't hear about them saving it.
Well, they don't have anything to replace it with, so it's not very sensible to get rid of the very lifeline that you're using to do your currency trade.
Well,
if your world
like
is pegged to the euro and you say, okay, we're not taking dollars anymore, okay, fine, then you're taking, oh, yeah, that's right, it's RNA drops. That's right.
Going back to this particle accelerator, were they able to work out the bugs where the people in the experiment weren't experiencing these horrible symptoms from it?
They got most of the bugs. There were a few spiders, though. There were some spiders that didn't get worked out. Arachnid, as they say.
Some of the people did disappear. Correct?
Most of them, yes.
And then when the ship reappeared, did they reappear with them or were they still gone?
They were still gone.
And they described a greenish haze, sort of like the descriptions that you hear from the Bermuda Triangle anomalies. Was that the same description?
Yes, okay.
The disappearance of the folks on this ship.
Let's don't say disappearance. Let's don't say that word, because that's where you're going to get messed up. Let's say the shift that was represented.
So people that shift, that have this shift anomaly that are in the Bermuda Triangle, does that happen in the same manner, or is it completely different because the USS Eldridge was artificial, human-created, and the other is extraterrestrial. Is that right?
Who said? Or you have a definition of extraterrestrial?
Ion.
Okay. And is there a glandular plane that you could attach that to?
No.
Okay. So when you can, then it'll be this sidebar calculation of things that are normal to most people, but extra normal to other people becomes extraterrestrial to a lot of people. Okay?
Right.
But the point is it's not that uncommon at all. Just like now, when somebody flies an airplane over in Kuala Lumpur, it's a 50-50 shot if you even gonna make it. And nobody seems to care. It's like, oh, well, come on, let's go. Let's take a ride.
And that's only happened lately.
Do, but the numbers are getting pretty prolific.
So the areas in the Bermuda Triangle, is that sort of a highway or invisible airport to the naked eye for travel
to
other places?
Everything from that side in Bimini, so you kind of burn it up. It's too hot. You got to move it around now. It's too hot.
Oh, so that's like an outdated airport, if you will.
Well, it's kind of tough to outdate something when there's no time. So, no, it's just as good as it ever was. It's just hot right now. So don't use it right now. It's hot right now. Just like, what is it, Bob says, that's why we don't have blind dates at Area 52 anymore.
So it's not that it got old. It's still being used. They just use other locations.
Second verse, just like the first.
It's like a fad. Bermuda's out right now.
Okay, are they timed? Are fads timed?
It seems that way.
Based on the proclivity of how an idea is embraced.
So the attention. It's the attention that people get.
Then it becomes classic, and penny loafers are good all the time. But not Sidewinders, but penny loafers are forever.
Was it Good Golly, Miss Molly he requested?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, Good Golly, Miss Molly sure like to ball. When you're rocking and rolling, can't hear your mama call. These are those shifts that you're talking about. I guess the proper indemnified word would then be to ball. If they are bawling, that's what's taking place. You can see Miss Molly rocking at the House of Blue Lights.
That's why Little Richard would become a minister, a reverend every other year. He'd go back and forth with his agenda.
So does Bob.
Yes, yes, I do that. Quadriphenically, I've improved on Little Richard.
Pickles, is that you?
He posted that a while ago, Carol. Yeah, Carol doesn't read the chat line. She's too slow. But she,
no, not Karen.
I didn't know
Carol's
that.
Carol's not Pickles. Carol's
2 minutes
ago,
Pickles. I said Pickles. Yeah, okay.
I either make your pizza or I look at the chat.
That's right, Pickles.
In the middle of Sandra's question there about the Bimini portal, and when you say it's too hot, does that mean the Bimini portal shifts to another area or the focus shifts to another portal?
When an airport's getting too much traffic, they divert the traffic to other less busy airports. So you go to a different port of call, and there is no slippage. You just shift. It doesn't matter. See, because the geography of landing here and there, getting here and there, from then to then to now to now to then to now to then to now to then to here, you don't notice any difference. Does that make any sense? The shifts you don't lose. So the flip, once you get this, it becomes just, oh, okay, we're going to go around for 5 minutes until we land. Okay, no problem. There you go. To somewhere else.
And the orchestration of that, is there some aspect of humans or air traffic controllers that's orchestrating the opening of portals?
It's what MJ was trying to note, but he hasn't quite figured it out yet. Things make him go ting-a-ling-a-ling.
Is it useful for us to know more about these portals and how they are activated?
Well, we say yes, and we say you're so kind to engage the little'uns, the young'uns in on it, because you know probably more about it than most people on the planet, but it's all deliciously fun fodder to proliferate.
So that portal that you're speaking of, is that open constantly, or is it opening and closing?
All of them are open now. They just don't use them when they're busy.
So it's never closing?
Not anymore. Bob didn't put up with that anymore.
Yeah, that was...
As long as there's ice cream, the portals will remain open. Portals and ice cream Snicker bars. And Frozannas. Don't forget Frozannas. Which we haven't had in a while, by the way.
I'm really feeling like the weather this winter, and particularly the weather this February, this month, has been a little too bizarre to be totally organic in nature. Is that accurate?
It's precise, because weather isn't organic at all.
If it's not organic, is it manipulated by humans?
Hickory smoked.
Hickory
smoked. Sandra, you told me that you control the weather. Every time without fail or
but
exception.
Of course, Brian.
If someone's manipulating the weather, Sandra, it must be you.
I'm not done yet. Just take a chill pill. Jeez, Brian.
Be careful, Brian. She'll run that lampstand.
Sandra, shall I mute Brian?
He's really got his panties in a wedge tonight, doesn't he?
Take a vote.
Yeah,
shall we
mute
him? No, no,
just
don't. No, don't mute him. Don't mute him. He'll be right. We want to see if he runs the lampstand up his anthropomorphic ante. In Revelations,
okay.
There are lampstands. There are lampstands in Revelations and lampstands in Revelations. Hosea is very cross about it. Gomer may not make it.
So Brian is right. I do manipulate the weather, but only when I want to. And I haven't wanted to lately because it's not really bothering me.
Well, how very gracious of you.
I know. It's probably because her wife's a whore.
Call Walter Winchell quick.
He's a live wire.
Go to your next question, Sandra.
Bob, can you mute everyone else, please?
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. Okay, so the weather is manipulated by humans. Totally understand that. But what I'm asking is this weather manipulated by HARP or any other entity like that? This recent weather, a bitter cold. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're on. I know. Ian's not muted.
Uh-huh. We're all muted. We're all muted. Yes, we are.
Oh, okay. Not anymore.
No, they're not muted. They're not muted.
Oh, yes, we are. So, too, done it.
Taking every opportunity to make a joke.
My question was, is this most recent weather of bitter cold here in the States, is that due to HARP manipulating it or another entity such as HARP?
No.
Is this cold weather part of your predictions in Revelations, Ion?
Yes.
Yeah, so take, see if you can, where you can go with that, Sandra. This is already happened, so to speak.
The winds have been loosed. And they were loosed a long time ago, so the next thing must be
cold.
The winds get cold.
The ice is unleashed. I don't know. Maybe that's not your field, Sandra. Did you ever listen to the Revelation series?
Well, no.
Let Brian ask that.
We'll get back to you, Sandra. Let me just bring in Brian. Maybe he can ask a Revelations-oriented question about the weather. You got something, Brian?
No, I don't have anything. Why would I have anything? Sandra
know,
says
Brian.
She controls
Sorry.
The weather.
Wrong, Brian. The Brian we know, it didn't show up today. It's another Brian. So what? You have a question, Roxy, for Ion?
Well, I'm getting tired of listening to small talk all day. It's like, I'm tired. So let's talk about something interesting. What about the four winds that were released on January 12, 2011? What was really happening with the four winds? We usually have this vision of the four horses, but I think it's just a process. And what will be that process?
We don't.
You don't what?
Think of it as a process.
Okay. It's implied that you would now correct us.
Well, no, it would be inferred, not implied.
What would be the answer? The answer coming or the wrong words are implied? Inferred.
Inferred, not implied.
Yeah. Which? The answer you're going to tell us or the fact it's not a process?
The inference that it's not a process. We can't explain the process that it's not. It's not.
Well, start over again. Drop that word and answer her question about what's going on, what factors, other factors she's not considering in imaging the meaning of January 12, 2011.
Would that mean the form of small talk?
No, she does not think it's small talk.
Oh, good, because that would go south quickly. We've done a series that explained those details exclusively. Do you have a specific question regarding it?
I want to understand, if it's not a process, what is the four winds? It's
they're
not
physical
a
winds. They're four winds that physically blow.
Not the process of blowing, they blow.
It's not the blowing of blowing, it's just crude blowing.
Go to chapter 7, Roxanna.
There you go. Brian's back asleep again. Hey, Brian, how you feeling? How's your mama doing?
Brian's dreaming again.
Hey, Bacon. My papa and him is just fine.
Well, that's good. I'm good to hear him. Good to hear him. How's that boy of yours?
He's not speaking to me.
You can hardly blame him, can you?
It was too much for him to take that the RNA drops my exhaling was causing global warming. He just couldn't take it.
I understand. Are you ever going to get 20,000 miles on that new truck of yours?
I just put 21,000 on it. Thank you very much.
I imagine that. You're very welcome. Enjoy. Well, good. You have to keep it cranked enough to keep the battery from going dead, you know.
Now, see, Roxanna would call this small talk, so we better get on to something.
Yeah. I'm going to mute Brian.
That's why we're sitting
Hey, I want to ask, hey, Roxy, you learned in the rewrite and in the angel diagram that the four winds are four parts of the body, right, Carol? Elements? Four elements?
Yeah, we just went over that, didn't we?
Yeah, the four elements, and I won't say what they are, but it's chemical. What is one of the levels it's applied, Roxy? It was the beginning of the unleashing of the eye cell into the atmosphere. Matthew didn't advertise the RNA drops till February 2nd, 2011. So they're just starting to be released. People are feeling it in January. So the winds began to blow because the eye cell came into our world. And that's what the Bible's chapter 7 is referring to.
So we're not allowed to say what they are because people have to buy them, right?
Well.
Bob?
Then let's go.
We're not allowed to say what they are?
No, we don't say what they are.
Well, we can, but we're just not. I mean, it's instead of being small talk, it comes back into repeat. We'll get a bad case of repeat. Bob says that we've already done that. That's old school. That's already done. So let's
She's
get down
never
to the
live
juicy
that down.
Stuff. Well, I mean, from Luckenbach, Texas, what do you really expect?
And we discovered this week, Roxy and I, that looking back means looking back through the rear view mirror.
I thought I discovered that.
Well, maybe you did. The McLuhan can become McLuhan black. Back, McLuhan, that's a rear view mirror looking back. So you
Pickle,
discovered
that
meaning, Carol?
Well, the three
Pickle,
of us were talking.
Yeah. Right, the three of us.
Yeah, we figured it out or somehow came up.
Well, let me explain to you about the rearview mirror. This is what I discovered this week. Ian, could you just be quiet for a second while I read this? He said this back in the 70s, late 70s. He says, I made a strange discovery about the rearview mirror. Having accused a lot of people of living in the rearview mirror, he's speaking of himself, and having meant by that they were out of date, that they were 19th century minds, I then took another look into the rearview mirror on my own. I was not criticized. I did this on my own. He wasn't prompted by criticism. He did this on his own. And I discovered, somewhat to my surprise, that when you look in the rearview mirror, you do not see what has gone past. You see what is coming. And the rearview mirror is the foreseeable future. It is not the past at all. The title, the phrase, rearview mirror, appears to distort the situation. Most people think of it instinctively from the sound of the phrase, it must be the past, you know, rear view. In terms of media, of course, the thing that is occupying the foreground in terms of the rearview mirror is nostalgia. Nostalgia is the name of the game in every part of our world today, including the program Roots. That would be 1977. But nostalgia is not, well, it's a kind of rearview mirror, if you like, but it's also the shape of things to come. When people have been stripped of their private identities, they develop huge nostalgia. And nostalgia for jeans and Levi's of the young today are nostalgia. Hey, fucking shut your goddamn fucking crap, all 500 of you that are making noises. For granddads, nostalgia for granddad's overalls. His work clothes now become the latest costume, but this is a rather mysterious thing. The costumes worn by the young, the fashionable costumes, are really very old hat and nostalgic. And someone called it the international motley. That the costumes worn by the young today are kind of international motley or clown costumes. And paradoxically, the clown is a person with a grievance. His role in medieval society was to be the voice of grievance. The clown's job was to tell the emperor or tell the royalty exactly what was wrong with the society. He often lost his head in the process. But the clown, the internationally motley of our time, the clown is trying to tell us his grievance. The beards and the hairdos and the costumes of the young are a manifestation of grievance and anger. You've heard about the streakers, a kind of manifestation of anger about the lack of jobs and goals in our world. In America, we call them passing fannies. I understand it has a different meaning here in Australia. And that's that. So he realized that in the rearview mirror, you see the future, the foreseeable future. You like that meaning, right, Aya?
He told us to mute.
No, I didn't tell you to mute. I told the guy who was making the noise
to
mute, and I expanded
quiet.
To everybody. Yeah, well, you're not muted now. So fucking what? Okay, now you're here. You're unmuted. And I'm asking you, isn't that your definition of the mirror, is the foreseeable future?
We like Pearl Jam's version.
Oh, what are they saying?
Took a drive today. Time to emancipate. I guess it was the beatings made me wise. But I'm not about to give thanks or apologize. I couldn't breathe. Holding me down. Hold on my face, pushing to the ground. Forced to endure what I could not forgive. Seems to look away. Wounds in the mirror wave. It wasn't my surface most defiled. Head at your feet. Fool to your crown. Fist on my plate. Swallow it down. I gather speed from you fucking with me. Once and for all I'm far away. I hardly believe finally the shades are raised. Hey, saw things so much clearer. Once you, rear view mirror. So, we like Pearl Jam's version of
what
rear
is,
mirror.
How did the band Pearl Jam decide to use the name Pearl Jam? I think the most common urban legend is that it is semen, but then I remember reading, like, Eddie Vedder said it was his aunt Pearl's recipe for something. Are either of those true?
No.
Ion, is genetic drift going to be used to explain how the RNA drops are starting to change our DNA?
Yes.
Where'd you get that idea, Carol?
I think someone asked me what I thought of genetic drift. See, there's this whole business about people saying they now have gene mutations or slip mutations or SNP variations. Everybody's all about the genes now, so there's a lot of focus on it because the genome project crashed. So anyway, genetic drift is how the gene population varies, and people don't even know how to define it in any true way. So it just made me wonder if the attention was focusing on it now because we're already changing the genes. Is that all that we need to know or want to know about genetic drift, just that we're going to be influencing it and we're going to see people talking about it more? Is that enough to know about it, Ion?
It's kind of like mother love bone, what's left of it.
Mother love bone?
Yes.
I will look that up, but I have never heard of such a thing.
That's the band that...
that band.
Was it the...
An American rock
bass
band.
Bass player for Pearl Jam or something like that.
Dude, very
good. They formed in Seattle in 1988. You're saying that genetic drift is kind of like all these bands forming and then breaking up and then commingling and then breaking up and commingling.
Yeah. Eddie Vedder. Very good.
Eddie Vedder.
Yes, Eddie Vedder.
I even know that name. Okay, that's good. Next question. There's this water out in the world called ASEA, A-S-E-A. They say it has a
oxidation reduction potential of 850, which is supposedly just out of this world. Now, the thing of it is, oxidation is going away because oxygen is going away. That implies that this ASEA is just like a, McLuhan would say, a rear-view mirror of something that's fast disappearing. Is that correct?
Not the new McLuhan. He'd say it has to be foreseeable future.
Well, he intended to say you had to get rid of it before you could know it.
There's a focus on this oxidation reduction potential, making everybody think, oh, you have to have this or you're going to die. Okay.
You see, knowing, Carolyn, is rearview mirror in the old sense. He just said you have to get rid of something before you know it. That means it's no longer in the present invisible environment. So once it becomes obsolete, then you know it. So don't rely on your knowing too much.
So
rely
it's only you got to dox it. You got to dox it before you redox the signaling molecule.
That's right, because that's their promo hype, is that it contains redox signaling molecules in a saline solution, and it claims to promote the immune function and cellular communication. I mean, using all the buzzwords that we use, unless anyone else wants to ask questions about this water, because it's quite prominent, I'm okay to just leave it at that. But it's
Carolyn,
how about Temple of the Redux?
Okay, we won't leave it.
Bullshit.
We won't leave it.
Bullshit. Bullshit. 28 times. Bullshit. bullshit. Yeah, that's 28 times.
What's bullshit? Me not asking more questions or it?
No, this docks or the rebucks or the tinkly winkly doos.
And Carolyn, typically, you know, ORP is going to be in water, hung on a constituent of maybe peroxide is in it, chlorine is in it, bromine is in it, all liquid oxidizers that would raise the ORP of any water that they're in. So I don't know how having a water with a high ORP is going to do much, because oxidation reduction potential means it's the potential of the water to reduce bacteria. You know, who's going to drink that?
You could sell it at an air bar. Like you could
your
tell
stomach is full of bacteria, and I don't know that it would fade well.
Drink chlorine bleach. That'll do it.
You'll be gasping for air and glad when you get you some.
Bless that heart. Take it all, baby. Take it all.
Okay, so that decimated the ASEA water. Anybody else have a question?
Ian, I wanted to just quickly ask you, how do you like the song Radioactive?
It's fine.
Did you have anything to do with it or no?
Didn't say.
Yeah, just curious about what Ian thought about it.
It's fine. It ain't Yo Gotti, but it's pretty good. And don't forget Little Boozy. Little Boozy's very good. Or that Little Boozy moment. How about that?
Okay, Ian, we may have asked this before, but can you describe what a virus is?
Viral or virus?
The organism virus.
It's a little bug. It's called an agent that only pisses inside living cells.
The Evergreen said that cancer was caused by a virus. What's your opinion?
We'd say wonderful if that were true, but it's not.
Total Biology says cancer is a conflict.
It is. It's a conflict between little man and ascended man. Yes, it's between you and you. It's between the problem with what's wrong with you is that you got this because you're not God. And if you were God, what if God was one of you, just a slob like one of you, just a stranger on the bus trying to make its way back home? So there you go. And then when you take this virus outside the cell, it's nothing. But then the host cell gets it and it starts feeding and then building and causing the thing to come, and then it makes a bacterial influx of the cell itself. Then the white blood cells have to come whoop the ass of the virus. It's going to beat it up, and it's going to tear it up. It's going to break it down, and then the plasma is going to clean it up and tow it away and take it and run it through the colander and the strainer. Then you're going to piss it out, or you're going to shed it out. It's going to get all ground up. It's going to go right down your esophagus, and it won't stop at all. Eat a virus. That's what'll open up your esophagus, and sand. Sand, magnesium, sea salt, and a virus. That'll do it. And clean that right up.
Okay, and in all that crazy chaos, the body suffers, correct?
The little man body is made stronger, or it is withered. It's made stronger, or it withers.
Yeah.
That's the duality.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a parasite, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever said it that way. The cancer is the conflict between you and you, and you got this for yourself because you're not God, or you don't think you're God. You know, allow that virus to manipulate you. Is what I'm hearing. Okay. So with the completement formulas, then we're working on uniting you and you and just disposing of all that nonsense, correct?
That in a six-pack of cellate.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I got to get back to work on the cellate. Okay. Anybody else?
Is Bob napping again? You have to mute him, Carolyn. He's breathing.
No, I think he's eating. He's either eating or sleeping, but no, right now.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's pizza time. It must be pizza time.
Oh, I know. The pizza is so good.
A couple of weeks ago, Ion, you mentioned that we're getting rid of or destroying the immune system. And I'm glad that Carolyn is here, too, when I asked this. Will you tell us the benefit of that?
Well, sure. The benefit is you're becoming immune to it.
So there's no super bugs or anything that, well, like just
sure there
it
is. There's a new super bug right now. It's wiping out the world. It's right now. Super bug. A big old chicken. Little big one. It'll take MRSA and make it nothing. It'll take the worst C. diff you ever had, ever, and wipe you out.
But if you don't have an immune system, it doesn't matter for you.
If you don't have an immune system, you don't have anything to be immune to.
That's what I mean. So it's positive. It's good to not have an immune system.
Or it could be negatively positive. Or it could be positive or negative.
Yeah, Wendy, it's like a 50-50 chance of it killing you or making you a superhuman. And it's all
Yay.
Up to you.
Either way, some way, sometime or another, you're pitching or catching, honey.
No more trivial questions. Come on, somebody.
Okay.
Raise the bar.
At a certain point, Ion, you talked about the Earth having a negative charge of about 6 nanocolumns per square meter.
Well, say something.
Has that changed?
A little bit.
Hello?
Stop
a
it, Kyle.
Bit.
A little bit. Is
Kyle's
it
on.
Hello?
A measurable change?
No, not yet.
Hello?
It's not a measurable change yet.
What isn't?
The negative charge of the Earth itself. So it's changed, but not measurably. Now, yeah, I had some questions about the Ebola virus, but I think it's not even...
Try the Gotras virus.
Spell that.
Gotovirus.
So that's the next
one? That's a yummy one. Well, I don't know. They might not even have words yet.
Oh, it's a tick virus. Originally, the Lyme disease that comes from ticks, was that something that was grown up in the the labs on Long Island originally?
You mean City Island?
No, Long Island.
Are you sure? It might have been City Island. There's a rough crowd from City Island. You got to watch them.
Was that a man-made virus?
All of them are, but yes, that one was.
So this Tugoto virus.
I hear you moving around up there.
What's your topic, Carol?
The next virus after Ebola is this Tugoto virus.
Yeah, you're talking about that island off of Long Island, that little place
right.
The experiment.
Yeah.
Who's exhaling? Who's breathing? Breathing deeply.
We think most of them are breathing, Bob.
You were talking about the Lyme disease. What was that in reference to? I didn't catch that.
The Heartland virus.
And that's another virus. The next virus that's on the map, Ion says, is the Goto virus, Thogotovirus. And I looked it up, and it's from ticks. So then I said, oh, Lyme disease is from ticks. Was the original Lyme disease man-made? And Ion said they all are. And the new virus out there is the Heartline virus.
He means nature is man-made, Carol.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why you say they're all man-made. Man makes everything.
In a lab,
yeah.
Though.
Well, you'd have to specify it. Is it 20th century nature or Greek nature?
Well, why has man made that in lab?
Why not?
To get rid of most of us.
And why not? But if it's creating all this...
You all won't even pay your taxes.
And besides, how does pretending it's not real solve anything? It's moot.
The closest relative of it was found in a bird's nest in Arkansas Bay off the coast of Texas.
I'm listening to the recording of the lotus flower. I've listened to it a couple times, and then I went back to the last time.
Yum, isn't that delicious? And see, that's not a glib cliche archetype that'll rare you out. So what did it say?
Well, I just caught you saying copper sulfite, and it kind of rang.
Yes. Kind of an echo from the burning bush. Cue that one up, Bob. It'll be, you've got exactly 4 hours to find it.
So, Lynn, where's the lotus flower thing you're listening to? Where's that from?
Last Saturday. Ed put it on Ian and Bob, but I listened to it there a couple times, more than. And Jenny, you know, was really good on some of the things that she said. And then I went back to the whole recording because I clicked off about 1 o'clock in the morning, so then I listened to some.
Everybody does sooner or later, honey.
Ian, what were you getting on about with copper sulfate, which in the...
Sulfite.
So it's not the toxic properties that... it's something totally different.
Very good. Most excellent.
So F-I-T-E versus F-A-T-E. One is extremely toxic, and the other, what properties... would you describe to it?
Well, we say also little men's also toxic, so that's also systemic and will take over too. So we're not the best one to sort that.
What's the topic, Carol?
Sulfate and sulfite and the differences thereof. One is pison. Well, we'd say they both may be pison. One may be pison, mostly pison to a... Neither are pison to an ascended man. Maybe that's the way to say it. GQ?
What would we use copper sulfite for?
Well, it says on the wiki that it doesn't exist, but... I don't think that's obviously, you know, the case because it does exist. And there are patents that have been applied for copper sulfite with CuSO3 and the characteristics thereof for biotechnologies.
The difference between sulfite and sulfate is an extra oxygen, CuSO4 and CuSO3. Is that chemical formula?
Yes, yes.
When you've talked about copper before ion, you've talked about it in terms of grounding. What type of copper was that?
Just regular copper.
There's a lot of things like nitrites versus nitrates. Nitrites is unstable. There's no way to control it. It's an unstable compound, so it sounds like this is what you're talking about. The trite is unstable, and there's no practical use for it.
No, that's not true. Nitrite is an oxygen scavenger, typically. If you were to use it in a closed-loop system with metallurgy in it, it would scavenge all the oxygen out of the water or the liquid. And, of course, if there's no oxygen, there's no corrosion. So it's a real inexpensive way of adding a corrosion inhibitor to water. Nitrite.
So ion, is copper sulfide unstable?
No, but it would be the way you're describing it. They would say it's not particularly stable. But first you got to decide if it exists, and it does. But just wait a second. We'll have to put an entry in the wiki. Once we put an entry in the wiki, someone else will have to read it and affirm it. Then someone else will write a blog about it. And then Ariana Huffington from the Huffing Puffing Posty Toast will discover it. And then it'll be laid back to Dobbstown. And then Lukenbach's going to write a little piece of paper about it, and then Angela Merkel's going to decide that the euro cannot stand and that we must go back to the Deutsche Mark because Greece won't pay their bills.
It's not stable the way we were talking about it. So you're implying that in the new environment it's going to be stable?
Yes.
Is there something we can do to enhance the stability, or would we want to do that?
If you want to.
Are we doing it simply by taking the completement formulas?
No, because if you go back and you go at it to the straight-out level of the Cu2SO3, it'll help.
It says copper indicates that you have the Cu 1 plus ion. Sulfide is a polyatomic ion, and if you put those two together, it gives you the compound copper sulfide, which is Cu2SO3.
Yay! See, that's why Jeannie Bell makes the big bucks, y'all. She gets it all right.
I don't know what a polyatomic ion is, ion.
Well, ask Dr. Dean. She'll tell you.
It's probably an ion that has poly atoms. It has many ions. It probably jumps back and forth between atoms. Covalent bound.
Oh, covalent. So that makes it unstable or stable?
I would help stabilize it.
We would say it should stabilize it, but then you can take nitrogen dioxide, and it really changes it everything up, you see.
What are you doing?
And ion,
okay, the answer to your question is bisulfite ion, because that's when you're going to get the hydrogen sulfide. We haven't talked about that yet.
Ginny mentioned the hydrogen. Ginny, where did you get those words from?
I got it from Googling, what is the formula for copper sulfite?
She sharpened her Googler. It's a good thing.
Is there a relationship between this compound and bacteria that we see growing in extremely high saline solutions?
Maybe. Or in like a mercurius ion, maybe?
You want us to stay with mercury?
No, we're just giving another example.
Of what?
The cell form.
It's an example, Carolyn, of what?
The blue stone.
You don't know, Carolyn?
I get distracted.
Mercury polycations are polyatomic cations that contain only mercury atoms. The best known example is Hg2+2 ion found in mercury. The existence of the metal-metal bond in Hd(1+1) Pren compounds, was established in X-ray studies, and then it goes on and talks about the relationship of the mercury and a oxidizing state.
When you apply that to hydrogen sulfide, you have the extra ionic bonds that will stabilize a bisulfite ion, which is required in the Cu anyway.
In the Cu of the Cu-O2O, we were just, yeah. In the Cu-2-SO3.
Yeah, there you go, SO4.
SO4, okay.
It will be. No. Remember AO2SO4.
SO4, very good. AO2SO4.
Don't give them anything. They got to listen to stuff, though. And then after a while, we got to say, does anybody remember the formula? And then Carolyn's going to say, AO2SO4. She goes through the whole thing. She's got it all memorized in my heart. She knows Latin, too.
She doesn't know Latin, Ian. You're fucking hallucinating.
Yeah, she does.
We want the other
Ian.
Can we have JW number 4?
We
have Ian going through another JW.
She got an anus erectus going on. It's all good.
Ian, I was speaking to a life support engineer who does stuff for aquariums and blah, 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 and he was talking about the different salinity content of the ocean in different geographical locations. Is there a explanation for the changing of the salinity of the ocean in different geographical locations?
Yes, we are changing it.
Who is we, Ion? What is we? Is that Ion that's come forth to create, or the non-physical that everybody has that doesn't create?
Pick.
Either one?
Both. Okay.
Both. Could you do it without creating?
Don't have to.
Why don't you have to?
Because we can just do it anyway. It's by rote.
And this is something about salinity?
Dude, but now it might have been about salinity, too. That applies as well.
Cheeky.
Yeah, it could be. Chances are, get a little Thorazine shuffle going on. It's cool.
Back to this changing salinity in the different portions of the ocean. Is there a geographical area you would describe where the salinity is changing the greatest?
Dead Sea.
It's getting deader?
No, it's getting saltier.
That's understandable. Water's evaporating, leaving the mineral behind. But we're starting to see bacteria. Okay.
No.
It's getting salinier.
Otherwise it would go dry. It doesn't go dry.
So the Dead Sea, they've of course always called it the Dead Sea because the salinity is so high that they cannot detect any life forms as we know in it.
But yet, what you're fixing to say is that now there's paramecium living in the Dead Sea, even in the high salt stuff. That's why Dr. Dean says put salt of air in your magnesium-laced water so you can let it flow down your throat hole seamlessly. So we say add sand to that mixture, and if you have any esophageal reflux, it'll take care of that just right away. Sand.
In the new calcium formula, we're going to put the silica, which is sand. Will that be suitable enough so that people don't have
to? Yes, it would. It'd be perfect. But if y'all can't wait, we know how impatient you are. Go get some good,
fresh, dirty sand.
Get dirty
Ovaltine.
Sand.
We get some Ovaltine.
Now, Ian, the organism that you described that's existing in the Dead Sea, is that a bacteria, a fungus?
It's a paramecium.
Paramecium.
A one-cell organism.
It's
a unicellular protozoa.
Yeah. He's an autosexual.
So it's a form of algae. Is that the correct description?
Paramecium.
Really? Look at it.
We don't mind.
Oh, it's so cute.
It's very cute, the picture in the wiki. Let's look at this. It is a genus of unicellular silated protozoa commonly studied as a representative of the ciliate group?
That's a law firm.
Now, Ion, what about these bacteria that they recently discovered that only live on electricity? The whole description of life being, you know, transforming energy and cell replication seems to have gotten thrown out the door with this article I wrote about them living on just electrons. Obviously, it's been around forever. We've just never detected it. Is this something that's going to have an impact?
It's the way it's always been. You're just looking at it in a variable that applies with ohmage and resistance
right.
and frequency.
Sure, that's how they've been able to detect it, low voltage and electron transfer.
Ta-da, put it on a 440 and see what happens.
Grow tentacles, would it?
Three phase, for sure.
They've made movies of stuff like that.
That
was the article that I sent you, Carolyn and Bob, from, what was it, Popular Science?
What did Ian say about it?
Hit it up with a 480 volt and see what happens to it.
No, he said a 443 phase.
What's the article about, Greg?
The definition of life was, of course, organisms that exchange energy and split cells. Well, they've isolated organisms that now strictly just live off of electricity. Just transfer of electrons. No food source, no respiration, no metabolism. Just give me some good old voltage, and these things exist.
It'll come out like cupric sulfite.
Cupric sulfite.
Cupric.
It'll come out as that.
Looking like that.
What's the
red
spelling
powder.
Cupric?
C-U-P-R-I-C. Copper. It's a copper compound, right?
It is.
How's it spelled, Carol? Cupric?
C-U-P-R-I-C.
Sulfite.
So, Greg, when did you send us this article?
2.5 weeks ago.
1937.
Okay.
It was a very nice day.
The paramecium, how come that's something, you know, neat or whatever, that they're growing in the salt water? They don't grow in salt water, or?
They don't. The high salt takes them away. They can't survive. And
so are they...
Do.
So are they becoming more
salt and light?
No. As the salt becomes more and more and more and more, guess what happens? It'll go away and it's not salt at all.
Describe what the salt changes to. If it goes away, what do you mean by goes away?
It's no longer salty.
Sodium chloride then is changing to what, Ion? I mean, you're saying salt goes away.
Yes.
That would infer a chemical change.
No, we're just saying that something applied to the water is concentrating the salt so much that the salt is dissipating.
Got it.
And then when it's not salty, it changes. And then the application that desalinates the water will then draw hydrogen to it to such a degree that oases in the deserts will spring forth life eternal. And
very good.
Blah,
so
blah, blah. Then it'd be cliched archetypes all over, and then we all go to Luckenbach, Texas for a beer.
So, Greg, what's the topic here? Are we talking about salinity?
Salinity and the effect of hydrogen on salt, sodium chloride, such that the sodium chloride leaves the situation, so it's no longer a compound
of hydrogen on salt.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's nothing to do with the living off electricity stuff.
No, change topic. We change topics.
Diane in Montreal says, Ion, you told her in the dream state to write down the words Planeta Mundu. That's PLENITAMUNDU. You insisted she do so. You told her they had visited her many times before, but I never remembered the next morning. So this time I did.
When I Googled the words, the next morning I was directed to Vincent D. Beauvais, B-E-A-U-V-A-I-S, a Dominican friar, 1190 to 1264, who wrote the Speculum Maius, M-A-I-U-S, the main encyclopedia that was used in the Middle Ages. Have you ever heard of this? Could you ask Ion during your show about the pertinence and significance of the Planeta Mundi, as well as Vincent
follow
de
it.
Beauvais?
Follow it. Follow it. Research them and follow it.
She's telling you to research it.
We're telling her to do what she says we told her to do.
Oh, wait, yeah, you told her to do that. And write down the words, and then she's getting some information, so she then should
there
pursue it more.
Follow
There's
it
nothing... Is there stuff she can not find on the Google that you would tell her?
Yes, but she won't believe us. And when
Why
we
not?
Told them to eat sand, and they don't want to eat sand, so fuck them, you know?
Well, a lot of us here would believe you. Okay, you tell us that she can decide whether she believes or not, but you tell us what would you
okay.
say to her that she, you say?
Eat sand with magnesium and salt. That's all.
That's what Beauvais discovered?
No, silly, that's another conversation altogether.
Well, that's what we're talking about, the Planeta Mundi or something, and Vincent de Beauvais.
Oh, I thought we were talking about what we already said do that they said they didn't want to do. Oh, okay.
No, they didn't. They don't know that topic. You told her to write down the words Planeta Mundi, and you directed her to...
To an agar. That is the end of that song is an agar.
Okay, so you're asking her to look up Vincent de Beauvais?
Do more research about it, yeah.
What can you tell us that she wouldn't believe about that topic?
That it has to do with an agar.
That's what you grow things in the lab.
Okay, and that may have been mentioned a few weeks ago to her, Ion? The agar was mentioned to her?
Ion described the form of hydrogen that causes sodium chloride to not be sodium chloride. Very good. Thank you. Stabilized H-197.
Doesn't have to be, but it can be. And see, stabilization of H-197 is not required. It's just easier for you guys to handle it. It doesn't have to be stable. You can eat iridium. It's perfectly all right. It's just better if it's stable. It'll taste better.
What are we talking about, Carol? More salinity stuff?
Yes,
no.
Stabilizing.
H-197.
Stabilizing
H-197? This is isotope doppelgangers.
Are we still on the salinity topic?
Yeah, I was asking what was the form of hydrogen that would cause sodium chloride to no longer be salt, and Ion said H-197. Right.
Is it the topic of stabilizing sodium chloride?
No. What would be a good word on transmuting, something, resalt?
Okay.
Resalt or whatever.
On the mutation, transformation of sodium.
Or maybe like a dose of salt. There you go.
I have some advice for you, Ion. You being around for a long time, apparently timeless, millions and billions of years, well, whenever you make love, wear your glasses to make sure your partner's actually in the bed.
We're autosexuals.
That's right. So set the timer for 3 minutes in case you doze off in the middle of your autosex.
What are you talking about?
And write your partner's name on your hand, Ion, in case you can't remember.
We already did. It's in the palm of your hand now, baby.
Hey, Ion, use extra polygrip on your teeth so they don't end up under the bed.
What are you reading from? It's disgusting.
It's advice to teenagers. They age rapidly today, so it's love tips for teenagers.
And one more tip, Ion, when you have an orgasm, yell your own name.
Gizgasm. Gizgasm for everybody.
Ion, when your sweetie says, let's go upstairs and make love, you answer, pick one. I can't do both.
It's right. It's like the little lady at the old folks' home. She was going from room to room. She had on this little pretty dress. She's kind of lost a little bit. Anyway, she didn't have any panties on, and she went to the first door, and they saw this little man dozing there in his thing, and she raised up her skirt, and she looked, and she says, "Hey, honey." He said, "Yes, ma'am." She pulled up her dress. She said, "Super pussy." And he just turned it over. He's like, "Oh, my God." But she went to the next door, and she then found another great big old fella sitting there in his wheelchair. She raised up the screen and says, "Hey, honey, look here, super pussy." And he just kind of looked. His eyes got big and bright. Boy, she was just making their day. It was something else. She went to this next little man's room, and he was sitting there, and she raised up her skirt, and she said, "Super pussy." He looked down. He looked at her. He said, "What did you say?" She said, "I said super pussy." He said, "Thank you, ma'am. I'll have the soup."
Oh, my God.
Here comes Brian. Did you laugh, Brian?
No, I didn't. I had many things I wanted to say, and I forgot them all. I had a question about the hydrogen. What's the big deal with the hydrogen? I was wondering if the hydrogen has something to do with the electrons, makes the transfer of electrons easier between the elements, or if it's even required at all as far as electron transfer or interaction.
Do you have a question?
That was it. If you take what I just said and you form it into a question, and you're right there.
Well, I am laughing at you, Brian.
That's good.
Not getting
That's
anywhere.
Good. I'm just here for entertainment.
All right, well, I got a question for you, Ion. Trina says, a British toddler has become the first person in the world to be born with an extra strand in his DNA in a condition so rare doctors don't even know its name. Alfie Clamp from Warwickshire, Northern England, has a seventh chromosome which has an extra arm. Studies on DNA have indicated that even very weak changes in the energy field can cause profound changes in your DNA. Did we discuss this before, Ion, or would you like to add something?
We have. We discussed it, but they're finding it then for now, so it can be next, so it was, but it is this now. Then they got to find it in a goat and a sheep, and then it'll be perfect blood, and then Rh factor, and they'll find all these things, and it'll be what already was, that is, that's fixing to be, that you had already, that you didn't know you had, that you wanted, that you had to have, but you couldn't get it because you didn't know it, because somebody said it wasn't in the Googler. If it ain't in the Googler, it can't be, because it's got to be Googler or Buller. It can't be Googled. And if you can't Google it, then you can't get it, and then you got to go there, and then the Gutenberg Galaxy has to be rewritten, and Peggy Guggenheim blows her fucking head off.
Carolyn, you know the formula you rattled off has all of those elements in there, and minerals. And when you rattled off the other day, you put in all of the, what's all in
brackets.
There? Brackets. What, are they just brackets? Is there anything else besides brackets?
They're calls. They're just calls. They're calls and puts.
Calls and puts. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's like SO4 bracket 3 means there's three sets of SO4. It's not a big deal.
Does it have to do with structure? Such as, is salt a crystal?
Does what have to do with what?
Yeah, does what have to do with what, Sarah?
Welcome to our world.
You channeling Ion again, Sarah?
No, I was just thinking about Margaret Mellon's black diamonds and blue diamonds. And
Margaret
like
Mellon's, yeah, pink.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just trying to figure out where all the conversion came from.
Of what?
Never mind, I'll mute myself.
The conversions came from the Crusades.
The conversions of the blue pearl? What was
no,
the conversion of
the Crusades?
What?
The blue pearl, that was a pirate ship.
What was conversion, Ion?
The souls of many.
The conversion of souls of many. I write that down. You know, I am the person who takes the minutes of the meeting, so I like to get what's being said.
No, it was the Black Pearl pirate ship.
The conversions of souls of many.